This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls. And I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to our final episode of Series 2 of Over the Influence. If you're joining us for the first time, first of all, where have you been? The world and his wife are listening. Just to give you a recap as to who we are and why we're doing this, my name's Sharon Hartley. Shazza, I have just turned 47. Oh, that is horrific. 47 years old. It was my third sober birthday. 800 and odd days alcohol free. I used to be a daily drinker, ramped it up at the weekends, and just got bored to shit with it all and thought, you know what, I'm going to change this. And here I am, 47, very old, with two very lovely young men in my company doing this with me. Freddie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, Shazza Hartley, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. You cannot be 47, Shazza.
Oh,
you,
Freddie, thanks.
And I just thought I'd butter you up to start the final episode of the series. But hello, everybody. My name is Freddie. I am 38, almost 39 now. Not so long ago, I was a heavy drinking, stressed, depressed office worker who was flushing all his hopes and dreams down the toilet and was destined to become one of those people that was sat on the sofa, drink in hand, pizza in mouth, saying good things are never going to happen to me. But then I gave up the booze over 650 days ago, won some ultra marathons, broke some world records, ran across the Sahara Desert. But the highlight, Shazza Hartley, is being sat here right now with your two gorgeous faces in my screen. The last time I had two gorgeous people on my screen, well, let's not go down that route, but I am very, very happy to be here.
Well, that other gorgeous face that you are talking about, and this is particularly brilliant. I do love this. When we started out doing this, 20 episodes ago, I can't remember how many months ago, Ben was a drinker. He was not on an alcohol-free journey. In fact, if you want a laugh, go back to our moderation episode. We'll talk about that later on. Ben has spent
that... You want a laugh?
2020. Ben has spent that much time in our company with myself and Freddie wanging on about the positives, and pretty much it's just the unexpected joy of being sober, another book that Ben is going to read. Here he is, 5 months alcohol-free, Ben.
Yeah, nearly. Hi, I'm Ben. I'm the producer of this podcast. And as Shaz said, I had absolutely no intention of going alcohol-free. This was just a job when this started. You know, we actually had our first meeting for this back in January this year. The first episode came out in March.
Wow.
Actually, right at the beginning of March was our first episode. But yeah, I mean, my God, how things have changed over that year. I've absolutely loved producing this podcast. The response we've had, because I'm going to be honest with you, when we first started this, I thought, how many people actually are there in this alcohol-free community that Freddie and Shaz keep telling me about? Turns out, bloody loads.
Bloody loads.
It's like literally mad, the numbers that we've had listening to this podcast, the countries, the people all over the world are listening to this. And honestly, I've had the best year doing this with you guys, but obviously this is now the last episode in Series 2. So I don't know.
Oh, Ben, don't start. If you start, I'm going to start. Honestly, we have to hold it together. I've always got the box of tissues handy when I talk to you two, and And today is going to be no exception, I can tell.
This series has been, it's been breathtaking. It's been a laugh a minute sometimes. And in other, you know, episodes, it's been painfully, painfully sad. But the theme throughout it all, I think, is honesty and the positives of alcohol-free living. It's just been fantastic, hasn't it?
I think it's amazing, Shazza. When you think about, there's a, you know, once upon a time in a kitchen in Liverpool when it was the three of us meeting for the first time, and you and Ben talked about the bloody radio industry for half an hour, and I just stood there like a sober guy on a pub tour, and we were sat around that kitchen table saying, yeah, let's give this crazy idea a go. And there was something on the news about something called coronavirus, but we didn't really pay any attention to that. Yes. But then we've gone from that beautiful, amazing idea about, wouldn't it be amazing if, what if we could do something amazing? And then here we are, 20 episodes later, we've had world-renowned experts, we've had international superstars, we've had performers, we've had mothers, we've had fathers. We're like a sober United Nations, and I think it's an amazing thing to see. And I was going to say we should be proud of ourselves, but actually I am most proud of all our guests and all our amazing listeners that have got involved on this journey. And it's not our podcast. Oh no, it is your podcast. If you're listening to this now, then this is absolutely for you.
Yeah, 100%. And there are so many people. It sounds like I'm making an Oscar speech.
I think I might talk purely in sound bites in this episode.
There's so much I want to say, but some of it's going to have to wait. Yeah, Freddie, you're so right. This is about you and about, you know, the changes you want to make in life. And I think what's become apparent talking to everybody is that when people have listened and messaged and got in touch, they've said, you've made me feel less of an idiot. You've made me feel like I'm not alone. There was one message we had only last week, and the person that messaged over the influence described our podcast as a life raft. And I thought that was something else.
That's amazing. Just to know that we could change one person or help one person is I think, our goal. And I've been blown away by the messages, by the listeners, you know, the messages on email, on Instagram, on all over the place, the people that have been so supportive. And I think this is such an amazing community, and it's a growing community. And I think one thing we've always said, that we wanted to tell it how it is and not just be on the sober high horse and say alcohol's bad and you must do this, and if you fail then you're bad, and like just helping people with our failures, our trials, our tribulations, because that's what real life is. And we've all had a bloody tough year one way or another, and the fact that people are still here and still listening and still staying sober, and if they fall off that wagon they get back up again, and that's what it's all about, that we keep on trying and we keep going together.
Okay, series two roundup. We have had 9 spectacular episodes. We have had 9 amazing guests. And Freddie, I don't know about you, but I think we can break this down and we can split this into various different areas of the alcohol-free world.
Yep.
Let's talk for a minute about the experts that we have had on. We've had Craig Beck, William Porter, who's author of Alcohol Explained 1 and 2, and the one and only Andy Ramage. Andy Ramage. If we just talk about Craig Beck briefly, do you remember way back when we did the interview with him? And I had a history with Craig. Not that sort of history. We worked in radio together. We had a drinking history together. And this was 25 years ago. And to finally catch up with Craig, you know, in this manner, sort of 25 years down the line, where he is many, many years sober. He now coaches people with alcohol issues across the world. He's on our podcast talking about all things alcohol-free. It just shows you that, blimey, there is another way. And if you'd have told us to 25 years ago, this is where you'd be today, I would have poured a large wine and, you know, laughed in your face.
I think what really came across, I say, as well as his story, like you say, in terms of that heavy drinking media industry where you were just on it every single day, was the way he helped us to reframe alcohol, and the way that he helped me to really think about it in a different way, even though it's, you know, 600 whatever days for me now. there's still those triggers. There's still those times when you think, you know what, I've proven my point. I'm going to just pour myself a big one now. But the way he explained everything and just made it so simplistic, it was like he took the covers off, took the blindfold off, and helped me to realise actually what the truth around alcohol is, and the truth about why we still, even after a big long time of being alcohol free, we still try and kid ourselves that we can maybe just have one and that'll be okay.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't up for the moderation debate, was he? And I loved his he will never not make me chuckle, sorry man. I love Craig's analogy about quicksand. You know, he sort of said, basically, with alcohol, it creeps up on you, and before you know it, you're up to your neck. But it does take quite a long time, many, many years drinking, and, you know, that really struck a chord with me. I found it just fascinating to listen to him.
You know, he did talk in, like, sound bites, didn't he? You could tell he used to be someone who was on the radio.
Yeah.
If you know somebody who you think, right, I want to talk to them about their drinking, then go back and make notes from Craig Beck's episode. He comes out with so many great analogies.
Oh, he
just
did.
Like, yeah.
He talked about falling in love with sobriety, didn't he? Mm. Which was just beautiful. Mm. And the tone of his voice. I mean, I could listen to it all day.
That's what sums up this podcast, though, isn't it? I think actually that was a kind of defining moment for us in a way, because that's what we've been doing the whole time. Is it's not about necessarily running away from something bad and focusing on the negative aspects of how our lives used to be. It's about going towards something positive, and that falling in love with sobriety line, I thought
was
amazing.
It was something else.
It really highlighted that whole thing around, if you try and turn it into like a willpower battle where you're thinking, I really want that drink, but I'm going to have this battle with my willpower, you'll never win. And to put the drink down, you have to say, I don't want this anymore because I want that thing over there more. And to get that thing, I need to say no to this thing. And that's what really brought it home to me.
Like your island analogy that you came up with Andy Ramage, Freddie. The fun party
on
the island where everyone's sober and the dark. It was like the island,
it
wasn't
was.
It? Like, when I think about that episode, I think about when they jump off the Bear Grylls The Island show, where they jump into the water and they're going through that horrible thicket, and then they suddenly...
I know, that's what it was. That's what I was just imagining in my head. Like, I'd get on the beach and I'd just strip off and I'd just then start getting through this. And anyway, on the far side, it'd be amazing. And that's what we've got to get. You've got to go through the hard times, but then when you get there, that sober, beautiful island paradise is always there waiting.
It's so right.
He's the one where that was the guest that really struck a chord with me, I think. Like, I went and read Let's Do This after we recorded the episode with Andy Ramage. I've taken so much from it that I keep thinking about. It's such a good book, Let's Do This.
What was it about listening to Andy Ramage, Ben, that triggered something in you?
You know what? I think it was when he described himself as a middle lane drinker. That whole, you don't have to have a problem to change your relationship with alcohol mentality is what really struck a chord
with me. There was no rock bottom.
Yeah. But then there are, as we found out when we'll talk about Susan Laurie later, you know, people do hit rock bottom and then do successfully change that relationship with alcohol. I think the important thing for me is I still hate it when I tell someone I've stopped drinking and they go, oh, well, is it getting bad? Yeah. By removing this thing, my life's got better. It's not that I needed to drastically change my life. It has drastically changed it, but I didn't... Mm. Did you get what I'm...
Absolutely.
No, not
at all, Ben.
With Andy, and I, you know, he always talks about the magic pill, and he said, not that magic pill, a different one. And you know, he said, yeah, if I could sell you a pill that would make you richer, healthier, happier, less anxiety, better sleep... You'd be biting my arm off for it. And that's what stopping drinking for a while does to you. All those things. And you don't have to buy it. It saves you money, but it's there for anyone who wants to do it. Not even the case of saying, I'm going to do this forever, but any break of being alcohol free is can just make so many positive differences to your life in ways that you can never even imagine.
I just... jump in there, Freddie. A friend of mine who is about, I'm going to say probably approaching maybe even more than 900 days alcohol free, Zoe, and I know she listens to the podcast, and you had Zoe on this hand who just drank one glass of wine a day, and you had me on this hand that drank more than one glass of wine every day, more at weekends. And the impact on just removing one glass of wine that she had with her dinner in the evenings, and obviously no alcohol at weekends, has been phenomenal. So you don't need to be a massive drinker, as you and Ben were just talking about there, and you know Andy talking about being that grey area drinker, that middle lane drinker. It can be a really tiny amount, but the impact of removing just that can be massive.
Obviously, you know, we can't not talk about the experts we've had on the show without talking about Shazza's dream boat. I mean, our esteemed guest, Mr. William Porter. Shazza, do I even need to ask what your impressions were of this episode?
Swoon. Safe to say, I am probably William Porter's biggest fan, and it's quite tragic because he now knows this because it's splashed all over my private Facebook, and we're friends now, very close friends on my private Facebook. I adore the guy because, joking apart, when I...
You're so proud of that, just so you know.
Just so you know.
We message each other.
Me
we
and
message.
Will. He is great. When I started this whole nonsense 800 and odd days ago, you know, I had my list of Quitlet. So Quitlet being quit literature, the books that you read in order to help you. So one of the books that I read right at the beginning of my journey was Alcohol Explained by William Porter. And he's since written Alcohol Explained 2, which is quite similar to the first one, but adds more to it. And for me, that was the game changer. He explains alcohol and what it does to your mind and to your body. The fact that moderation, if you've had an issue with alcohol in the past, simply doesn't exist. I just love the guy. I love the fact he explains it so simply. I love his voice. Somebody said, actually, somebody messaged after the episode with us that they would like William Porter to read them a bedtime story. It wasn't me. I did not send that message. However, I got so much from it. And you know, there aren't too many people in the alcohol-free world. You see this handful of names. William is up there. But every time I hear him, every time I read one of his books or revisit something, there is always another nugget of information and of clarity in there to help you on your way. And for me, he's the bomb.
It actually gave me quite a lot of hope and comfort as well, because there's been so many times, I know other people sometimes feel the same, when it comes to alcohol, and if you try on that alcohol-free journey and you fail and you fall and you stumble, and then you start beating yourself up and you say, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get this right? Have I failed? Why am I such a failure? And the way he explained it made me realise that it wasn't me. It's nothing that I've done. There's nothing wrong with me. That's just the way this substance is, that you get hooked on and you try and quit it. And I think that gave so much hope to so many people out there.
You know, I actually sent the William Porter episode on to a mate because he's quite scientific. I think that's a really good episode for blokes to listen to in particular. I've got a friend who is not a scientist, but he's got quite a technical job and his mind works that way. You know, it's very much kind of, he doesn't work very emotionally. It's very kind, he works very logically. I think that episode is great for obviously, you know, women have enjoyed it for a different reason, apparently, Shaz. don't forget, you can share any of these episodes straight from your podcast app. If you need to send it on to someone and you think, actually, this person will really relate to that, just share it. You don't have to send the whole thing. You can send one episode each to people, if you like.
I think that is the perfect Christmas present there, Ben. It doesn't cost people anything. That is just a beautiful Christmas present, if you ask me. Experts have been an amazing part of this series, but it hasn't just been about the experts. We have had some extraordinary stories from some ordinary people. But you know what? I don't want to call anyone ordinary people, because the guests we've had on our show have been so brave and so bold and so open and honest. And I was blown away by some of these episodes. But we have absolutely had some extraordinary stories from people from all walks of life.
They've all been amazing. What one guest in particular for me that really, I don't know, it just really, they all touched me, but this one, Susan Laurie from rock bottom to sober forever. When we chatted to Susan, she was quiet. She was unassuming, a lovely woman, a mother, a wife. And my God, She just nearly lost it all. And she just spoke from the heart and shared her. There was so much pain in that, wasn't there? But then, obviously, it's a story of inspiration and of hope and how she turned it around. But the one thing that she referred to a lot during the episode was talking about if you've got a problem and you've got a situation, talk to your family and talk to your friends because they love you and they want you to get better and they want to help you. And now you look at her now and she is on the other side of it. She's several years sober, loving life and inspiring others.
If anything, I think that was almost braver than the sort of telling the world about it at the start of her journey. Because I think in the social media world that we live in nowadays, sometimes people want to share their sober journey on social media and they're very open and very out there. And, you know, literally from day one, they're all over Instagram and everything else. And that's amazing. And I always want to support those people. But Susan showed it doesn't have to be that way, because what is important in our lives is our nearest and dearest and our family and our loved ones. And she focused on those people and building and repairing those relationships, not only with her loved ones, but also with herself. And to do that in the way that she did. And as you say, Shazza, coming from rock bottom to being sober forever, I really was humbled and honoured by it. And it just went to show that there is a way to approach sobriety for everyone. And it was amazing to see.
It was. And I got quite a lot of messages, particularly from women that heard that episode and found it really emotional, and they were definitely inspired by it. And another woman who inspired many people, she's called the Sober Fish, Dawn, when we interviewed Dawn, and I wanted to know if it's because she drank like a fish. Apparently she's got a mouth like a fish wife, as we learned on our episode. Do you remember that episode? We were all sat there in our pyjamas at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. The fact we were all there in our pyjamas at 9 o'clock
absolutely
on a Saturday morning, oh my, how we've all changed since we gave up alcohol. But I am loving Dawn's work. I loved our chat with her. A feisty 40-something navigating her social life, her working life, alcohol-free, and not afraid to say it as it is. You know,
she really
I
was.
Thought she was absolutely superb.
She was in the papers the other day. Did you see her in the papers?
No.
No.
Yeah, it was her picture of her throwing away a glass of wine, and it was an article about how you can ditch the calories, but, you know, slim down a bit before Christmas, and they went, get rid of the booze, and it's Dawn.
Yes, I apologise, of course. I'd seen it. I'd seen it all over. Yeah, I thought you meant she was in the papers for breaking the law or something like that.
Woman, 40. No, like for a good reason.
Yeah, it was her transformation, and it was absolutely spectacular. Some of Dawn's before and after photos are something else. You know, that photo at a party where you're happy as Larry, or at least you think you are, when you're 10 sheets to the wind and side by side with a photo of today, they just don't compare. You can see it in her eyes. Absolutely breathtaking. Potty mouth, feisty woman. I love her to bits. She's fantastic. And I know she's inspired a lot of our listeners as well.
I think she really showed that how so many things can change. I think she was the personification of someone, as you say, that would be in the bar, drink in hand, life and soul of the party. But now, you know, happier, slimmer, fitter, healthier, sober, got her new business, her thriving community, and has made a whole new life and career and, you know, financial gains from this being this amazing sober inspiration. And it just does go to show how quickly and how amazingly life can change.
It was like that for Lee Mengo, wasn't it? The gay
The funniest guy on Instagram.
That was so funny.
He is the best, absolutely adore Lee. He's one of these accounts I stumbled across in the early days of sobriety. And again, one thing we are really proud of on Over the Influence is sharing our honesty. Sometimes it's shite. Sometimes it's awful having to navigate alcohol-free life. But the pros far outweigh the couple of cons that there might be in the early days. And for me, Lee, he's just a beacon of positivity. Hilarious, funny, honest, inspiring. Yeah, he's right up our street, isn't he, Freddie?
For Lee, for me, it was really, you know, I use a phrase sometimes that my mess is my message. And he was absolutely all about that. And, you know, in terms of, we've all done things that we're not proud of when we've been drunk. But he was like, yep, that was me. This is how it was. I've embraced it. I've changed. I'm a better person. And his positivity and laugh and humour just brought a smile to everyone's face. And even though he had been through some tough times, and again, he totally changed his career and everything else. And it was just amazing to see his journey and the fact that he could literally make light of any dark situation in such a positive way.
I now follow Lee, the gay sober, on Instagram. And it's definitely worth following him if you don't already.
100%.
And Shaz, I saw him reading out your Sober Eve.
Yeah,
letter.
That was amazing. It blew me away just to even be asked. Right at the beginning of lockdown, Lee wanted to do a series of Sober Eve letters where you basically sat down and wrote a letter to yourself on the final day of having a drink. And he asked me if I would do mine. And I thought, oh God, go on then. And I did it. And he read it out on his IGTV. And it was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed doing it.
If you say so yourself.
It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
The experience was so good. It was really cathartic, actually. And weirdly, the letter I wrote to my former drinking self, it's like two different people. It's really weird. It's a strange, strange thing to do, but one I thoroughly recommend. Yeah, I barely recognised myself, that drunken dick, back in September 2018.
You know what? Before we move on to Lucy and to Michael, our showbiz sober superstars, yeah, we've got to talk about Dell, haven't we? Like, that was personally, for me, that was a hugely special episode, I think, wasn't it?
It really was. And I am in awe of Del to go what he's gone through and to be where he is now and all of the stuff that life threw at him and to come back and be where he is now, running and inspiring and sharing his story. And I think it was nothing that we did on the podcast episode, but in terms of Del sharing those stories, I believe it was an amazing moment for him. And obviously we've kept in touch with him since the episode, and now even to see him just embracing life and going on this amazing journey. And literally I've got photos of Del in my room, not in a scary way, in a hero worshipping sort of way. And yeah, I've just got so much time for Del. He's an absolute superstar.
Yeah. I mean, we use the word legend a lot on Over the Influence, but when we sat down and chatted to Del, it was one of the rare occasions actually where we all just shut up and we let Del do the talking, and Del wanted to share his story, the reasons why he went alcohol free. If you've not heard it yet, it's essential listening. Go back and listen to what this guy has to say. It's brave, it's honest, it's
Delroy
difficult.
Taylor, the winner.
The winner, absolutely the winner. And what was brilliant about meeting Del, we've never actually met him. You know, we've connected. They say, there's that saying, it's one of my favourite sayings, the opposite of addiction is connection. And that has been apparent in just about every episode that, you know, that we've recorded together with our guests. But for me, Del, there is a connection there. He came onto Over the Influence to share his story. Really difficult for him, a huge personal story to share. But on the back of that, the response on the back of it, so many people have been in touch with Del since to say, you know, that they related to his story, that they understood where he was coming from. He's inspired hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And for that, Del, we can't thank you enough. We think you're a frigging legend. Just keep doing what you're doing, because it is changing not only your life, but the lives of the people that you're touching as well.
Hi, this is Ben, and just want to take a quick break to tell you about one of my favourite parts of the Over the Influence community, our thriving alcohol-free forum discussion boards. Essentially, this part of OTI is like Facebook, but the best bit is that it's not Facebook. The OTI community is a safe space for you to post your updates about your own alcohol-free journey to a community of supportive and positive people who share your same purpose, to live a better life alcohol-free. From celebrating wins to posting interesting resources, this part of the OTI community is constantly buzzing with messages, replies and conversation. And look, we'd love for you to be a part of it. If this sounds up your street, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk now and sign up to be one of our fabulous OTI community members. Of course, we're always posting in there too and replying to your comments. And of course, when you join, don't forget to post in our Introduce Yourself forum to tell us and our other community members your story. Finally, by becoming an OTI member, you're of course also supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety. So, thank you. Right, on with the episode.
Oh, yeah, what a series. Blimey, we've had the experts, we've had the ordinary people sharing their extraordinary stories. We've had you supporting us, we've had you sharing us, we've had you donating into our little pot, which, as Ben says, we are going to plough back into the podcast when we come back for series three next year. But the one thing about alcohol-free life and this journey, I use it in inverted commas, that we are all on, doesn't matter where you are, what you do, or how old you are. One of the things that we've been really excited by is the amount of young people who are brave enough, and I think it's fair to say that, brave enough to embark on this journey, because it can be difficult, the thought of navigating life, particularly if you've got a big social life, alcohol-free when you're younger. And two of our guests are young pups, or spring chickens, what should I call them? Make me feel about 107. We had the amazing Michael Brown, who we spoke to in America. Young, fabulous, showbiz, social life, entertainer, Cirque du Soleil. And of course, we had the brilliant Lucy Spraggan, not even 30, yet inspiring thousands with her decision to go public as well, which is brilliant, and her choices about her alcohol-free life. And I'm just loving the fact that younger people, you don't have to be an old crow like me to choose to do things differently. These younger people that are doing it and that are inspiring thousands of people along the way.
Totally agree, Shazza. And while, you know, Michael being in that world of performing, and a very alcohol-soaked world, and having the courage to say, you know what, I'm not going to play that game anymore. I can still make a success in my life. I could be more successful in my career by doing the opposite to what everyone else is doing. And yeah, I could talk to Michael all day. That's for sure. And yeah, it was such an amazing story. And I think he did actually say I was a very good singer as well.
No, he didn't. Don't be ridiculous.
What's amazing is thinking back, we did an episode in series one called The Shift. And that was about kind of how society was generally changing. And we talked about the impact that sober celebs were having on younger people.
Yeah.
And how good was it to finish a series with Lucy Spraggan, who's got half a million followers on Twitter, you know. Like, half a million
and
followers.
You know what? She gives zero shits about sharing it. And I love her ballsiness and I love her honesty. She's 29 years old. We talked about when she first sort of burst onto our screens as the teenager with attitude, didn't she? Talking about that song she recorded, Beer Fear, the morning. Was it called The Morning After or The Night Before? I can't remember. But in brackets, it was Beer Fear. And it was all about her partying and her anxieties with alcohol. And then when we spoke to her that very same week, she released a new song called Sober, which she'd written in the first 2 weeks of sobriety, which it's fair to say changed her life beyond belief. And one of the favourite things, actually, she said, she admitted, she says, I was a right prick back then when I was drinking, and it has changed just everything about her. It's
I love that.
It's a beautiful transformation.
You're absolutely right that she really didn't care what anyone said or anyone's reaction, because she knew she had to do this thing for her. And I think we could all take a leaf out of Lucy's book about this is, we have friends, we have family, we have people that we're, you know, we're connected with, but this this is everyone's journey. And sometimes you've just got to block out the haters and block out the noise and not give two shits and just do it for yourself. And that's what Lucy is doing. And it's so inspirational. It was amazing to talk to her.
So that is series two in a nutshell. It's just been glorious. It's been absolutely fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute. I love chatting with Ben. I love chatting with Freddie. I love everything about alcohol-free life. Have you noticed? I just bloody love it all. But before we go, we will be back in the spring. Before we go, it's really important we quickly mention the C word, which is only around the corner. And to give you some idea of where we're all at, this will be my third alcohol-free Christmas. It'll be Freddie's
second
alcohol-free Christmas. And it'll be Ben's first. You're going to pop your alcohol-free Christmas cherry.
I'm very nervous about Christmas.
Oh, don't be.
Because of, you know, it is, you know, like Christmas is the time when you wake up and the whole family thinks it's acceptable to have a drink before midday. Like, you know, it's 10 o'clock, the champagne's open.
Yeah.
It's an integral part of Christmas. It's you cook the lovely meal, but you get out the nice bottle of wine, don't you? Do you know what I mean? The one that you've saved for, that you went on holiday to Italy and wherever, and you saved it, and you're going to... It's an integral part of Christmas, isn't it?
It's true. I mean, it is tough. I remember, you know, last Christmas being my first sober Christmas, and, you know, all the men went to the pub on Christmas Day, and I was there in my silver traders going, ta-da, and walk into the pub. Even then, I was saying to myself, you know, like, you know, you could just have one. It's just one. It's Christmas. Come on. And for me, I try and think of it like any other day, and I accept it's going to be tough at the start. You've always got that first half hour or that first hour when it's tough. Just nail the alcohol-free drinks, nail the Diet Cokes, nail the whole flipping box of chocolates if you have to, and then get through that first hour and it gets a lot easier then. And nothing, no Christmas drink on the planet tastes better than waking up alcohol-free on Boxing Day and knowing that you did it. And that's the thing to focus on, if you ask me.
100%, I completely agree. And for me, Freddie, knowing it's my third one, this time, first of all, I just need to say, if you are alcohol-free at the moment and you have decided to make these changes during a pandemic and during a Christmas that is going to be very different with your loved ones this year, big up yourself. Every flipping credit to you, because it's difficult at the best of times. So if you're doing it now, every credit, very proud of you. Just keep going. For me, now I am looking forward to an alcohol-free Christmas. I've been where you are, Ben. I did my first one. Bit nervous. How's this going to go? Possibly one of the best Christmases I've ever had. Freddie, I've been where you are as well. The second year in, nailing the alcohol-free drinks. It's fine. You know what? Nobody really bothered. Nobody cares if you drink or not. And now this year, I actually cannot wait, because I know that Christmas Eve is going to last for hours. Christmas Day, nobody will get a burnt turkey. Boxing Day, I'll be fresh as a daisy. The days are mine. Much more time to spend with my loved ones at home without falling asleep on the settee. And it's about looking, as Craig Beck has said, we've referred to it in this episode already, falling in love with sobriety. Being alcohol-free, for me this year, will be the Christmas gift that just keeps on giving.
I get where you're coming from, Shaz. I am a bit daunted by it still. And, you know, because it's also just the thing of, like, the go-to present is someone to just go, oh, just get him a bottle of, you know, I'm fully expecting to get bottles of things for Christmas.
You might
as well,
do, Ben, but you know.
Which is kind of rubbing it in.
It's all about the firsts, and we've talked about this way back on series one. The first birthday alcohol-free, the first wedding, the first big night out with your mates, the first Christmas. Yes, I completely understand your apprehension, but those things you're worrying about, I can pretty much guarantee you've got nothing to worry about. And on the day after, the day after, the day after, you will never, ever, ever wake up wishing you got arsehole the night before over Christmas. I promise you. You will have zero regrets. You will really enjoy it. Fail to prepare and you prepare to fail. As long as you are prepared, you've got your alcohol-free options in, you're in a positive mindset and you're looking for all the positives, don't overthink it. I know it's easy for me to say that, and I don't mean to sound dismissive in any way, shape or form, but if you prepare, make sure everybody knows as well that you're alcohol free and that you'd really appreciate maybe not that bottle of whiskey or not that bottle of fizz on Christmas Day. And I think the more people you tell, the more accepting people are and the less of a shit people give when they're a couple of glasses in anyway.
Exactly. You know what? If all else fails, do what I do, Ben. Just take yourself upstairs when everyone else is popping the bottles downstairs, go into the bathroom, take your clothes off, get over the influence on your headphones, listen to an episode and just look at yourself in the mirror and say, this is me. Oh. And that's what it's all about, Ben, because you're a sober superstar. Everyone that listens to this podcast is a sober superstar. And it doesn't matter whether it's one day or 1,000 days. And there are going to be tough times coming up and it is going to be a challenge. But together, we have got the strength to come out the other side and to wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Boxing Day and say it's a fabulous sober day and happy bloody Christmas. So I don't know what happened to me then. I blacked out for a second.
Because I like went into an episode of The Christmas Carol. It was wonderful.
I'm just picturing Freddie naked with his headphones in, listening to his own podcast.
And on that rather scary image, it's time for us to wrap up the end of series two. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It has been an absolute pleasure taking the time to record this with Ben and Shazza. I need to say a personal thank you to both of you. Shazza for being my sober rock literally from day one. I shudder to think about the person I would be. Oh, I'm getting a bit emotional here.
I shudder
to think about the person I would be if I hadn't met you, Shazza. Ben, from being a bloody good mate to the world's bloody best podcast producer, I have so much love and respect and awe for all of you, and I have so much gratitude and admiration and superlification for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for deciding to press play on this little podcast we've created. You've helped me in more ways than you would ever imagine. I'll tell you what, a little shared, there's been some times this year when the only reason I haven't reached for a drink is because I've thought to myself, I'm co-host of a bloody alcohol-free podcast. That means I can't have a drink. And if it wasn't for all of you, then the year would have been a lot of a darker place. So thank you all so much. It really has been a pleasure.
Oh, Freddie, stop yourself. I can't deal with this. Seriously. Flipping heck. I don't know what to say on the back of that. For me, during this pandemic...
I think you should probably say something nice about Freddie, Shaz.
Oh, actually. Shit, should I? No. Right, okay. Yeah. Well, no, after that... after that impression he did of me, no, I won't. Freddie and Ben, it's been a ball. You said, Ben, it was March where we first recorded this, and that would have been in Freddie's front room, you know, in the days when mm-hmm. we could meet actually in person. And it seems a lifetime ago, but being able to meet like this on Zoom weekly and overshare and have a laugh and talk from the heart. And, you know, I think it's worth saying as well, as you mentioned earlier, Ben, people put money into the pot. They can buy us an alcohol-free beer or shout us a coffee. We haven't touched any of that. We don't do that to pay ourselves. We do this genuinely because we love what we do. We love bleating about alcohol-free life. It's been as much as a surprise as it has been, I think, for you both. And to have influenced our own producer, Freddie, to the point where he has stopped drinking.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It just warms my cockles beyond belief. Ben, I'm very, very proud of you. I feel like a weird, proud auntie of you both. That sounds really weird. I don't know where this is going. But it's from the heart of my bottom, I am very, very proud. Proud to be doing this, proud of you both, and thank you for keeping me sane as well during a pretty spectacularly shit 8 months. Finally, because once I start, I can't stop talking. Thank you to you for listening. It's been something else, and I will never tire of the messages we receive on our social media, and I constantly ask you to check in with us on your day counts. Let us know what you're enjoying. Let us know what you're struggling with. Just keep checking in with us because we love talking to you. We just love sharing our journeys with you, and we can't thank you enough. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
And on that note, we will see you in 2021. We will see you for series three, and we can't wait to be part of this next step of the journey.
it's Shaz from OTI. I'll only keep you a minute. I just wanted to let you know, as well as an extra weekly premium podcast being included as part of a monthly membership with us, and face-to-face Zoom calls, and being able to chat privately to fellow community members, we also bring you the very best inspiring and motivational masterclasses, which are held by some incredible guests from the AF and wellbeing world. We have had best-selling authors, musicians, adventurers, some of the biggest names in the whole alcohol-free sphere, giving their time to help you change your relationship with alcohol. These are exclusively just for you as part of your membership. It costs you £20 a month, and you can find out more about what we do at overtheinfluence.co.uk.